They could play this. There's another option.
Oh, man. Bossy.
They probably need something a little fresher, like newer than this.
Just a little
bit,
man.
We don't.
Well, we don't, dog. You need a crunk up in your system,
yeah,
man.
Hit some crunk in your system.
Yeah, man. I mean, I know Troy in the I know my man Troy in the studio. Troy can come up with something.
Yeah.
Troy can come up with a new anthem. And not, I mean, he can never beat the original anthem.
No.
Can never be
the hard to top.
Can never beat the original anthem.
But the original one would still work, too.
It would still work today.
That would still work,
It would still work today. That have them boosters ready to boost?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's boosters that know that song.
Hell
that was
yeah.
popular when they were in college or right after.
Yeah, they had the boosters want to boost.
Yeah, I think that's right. That's all we need them to do is boost.
Well, that place would be rocking up there.
All right. Hour number two, Trillville Thursday. Thanks for being with us. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Get into a college football corner in 20 minutes. Pretty fun college football Saturday coming up. Some big-time games. We'll start previewing them.
I'm sorry, too.
I'm sorry that I feel the exact same way that you do, and we're on the exact same page. Zach Robinson's going to get going to join us at 12:40. Falcons offense coordinator. Talk about him. Talk to him about Sunday and the season thus far as well. We'll get to an NFL no huddle in just a minute.
Well, I know it's NFL no huddle. I mean, they did make the change because remember yesterday I said now talking about the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
If they do make the change in the offensive coordinator, would you believe Aaron Rodgers didn't have anything to do? Now I'm not saying, and I do not believe that Aaron Rodgers told Woody Johnson to fire him. I do not believe that. But I do believe that Woody told Aaron that he was going to fire him.
Mm.
And I think maybe that's what I do think. There's no way that you're going to have a conversation with the with the quarterback and all those different things. Aaron did come out and say there's going to be some changes. And we know that this Dork is his guy, the quarterback. He's his guy. He's been demoted. Todd has been promoted. And Todd's a really good coordinator. Really good offensive coordinator. Was at Tennessee a long time.
And Todd Downing?
Yeah, Todd. No, I've been knowing Todd. Todd was GA when I was in San Diego.
Oh, wow.
I've been knowing Todd forever.
Okay.
It was Shane Steichen with the two offensive GAs together.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's how long ago it was.
Sure.
And so he's very capable and all those different things. Are they going to run the same offense? Is Aaron going to, you know, because my kids always say it to me, old dog, new tricks or something like that. I think they like to say that. But that's their favorite thing.
They do?
Oh, they get on my nerves with that. Huh. Learn something new, Daddy. Do something different. Y'all, you want to do the same thing over and over again.
Huh.
Can't teach a dog new tricks. That's my kids. Whatever. I like me. I like me.
Yeah.
You know what this old dog do, though? Old dog still take care of y'all. Y'all want me to take care of y'all the new way? Y'all want me to take care of y'all the new way?
Yeah, how about this new trick?
How about this new damn trick?
No more Venmo.
Exactly. How about this new trick?
No more Cash App. I learned that new
y'all
trick.
Y'all like old dad when y'all want some money. Y'all want new dad to cut your ass off? How about that? But that's the thing. Are they going to be doing different things?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. Hopefully, because what they've been doing hasn't been working. The problem is they're doing different things this year than they were doing last year with Nathaniel Hackett at OC.
Yes.
Like, he was the OC last year, too, when Aaron Rodgers got hurt and Zach Wilson was in there, when Garrett Wilson and others said that the offense was more complicated, that his route tree was more dynamic or whatever it was that he said. So this is an Aaron Rodgers thing.
Yes.
Like, Aaron Rodgers wants it to be this because – I don't know why, because this is how he can play right now, whatever. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Right.
But it's not working, so hopefully it's different.
Yeah.
To answer your question about whether or not, no, I just, because to me it's not about like the semantics of whether or not Aaron Rodgers dialed up his phone, called the owner, said, fire this man.
Right.
If Aaron Rodgers wasn't the quarterback of the New York Jets, would Robert Saleh still be the head coach of the New York Jets? Yeah. Right. So then he did it, right? So, I mean, you know.
Now, he wasn't a winning coach, right? He was 16 games under 500 and everything like that.
He wasn't.
But
bad situation, and he gets hurt early last year and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, this weird reaction of like a star player's never gotten a coach fired before.
Right.
It happens all the time.
Damn sure does.
It happens all the time in the NBA than any other league. But it happens, man. Like you have to make a choice. If the relationship is not working, and you think the best thing for the franchise is to split those two up, you're not firing the quarterback.
No,
you're firing the coach. It's what happened. All right, it happens. All right, let's get to an NFL no huddle.
It does, brother. At all levels of sports.
It happens. All right, NFL no huddle, every day to kick off the hour. We did the Aaron Rodgers Jet stuff. Randy said they did demote Nathaniel Hackett. They've promoted Todd Downing to be the offensive. No, he's the play caller.
He's the play caller.
Hackett's still the OC.
Yeah, he's still
so
OC.
So I guess he didn't, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, so that's the news out of there. Let's hear from Kyle Pitts. He was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday. If you missed the interview, check it out on the website, 929thegame.com, the Dukes and Bell page. Here he is talking about the entire wide receiving room.
I would just say, like, competitive excellence, just everybody feeding off each other. When one makes a play, we happy for him celebrating, and then, same for the next man. And just, when your number get called, for example, like a Darryl, him coming in on that play and, winning us the game. So just everybody's just ready when they're, when their number's called.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the most important thing, that, like, what he said as far as Darryl, we always talk about next man up. What the next man ain't as good. He's not as good as Drake London, but he made plays when his number was called and everything. And I'm not even saying, because a lot of times when you look at a situation like, he deserves more targets and all those different things. Cordero might not catch another ball this year. You just don't know. But I just think, I love the fact that when he went in, they went to him both times. And he made a big play on both of them. And hopefully, they try to get Kyle more involved early like they did in this game, this past game, and get him rolling and things like that. Because when one of your players like him gets it rolling, obviously it gives juice to the offense, but it kind of changes what the defense is doing too.
Sure.
You know what I mean? They might do something different, and that can open up somebody else, because if Kyle's rolling early, well, hell, defense, we got to stop Kyle.
Got to respect
that
Kyle.
That can open up some other stuff.
And maybe that's a part of what led to all the success in the game. I think probably a lot of things had to do with it, but that's where it started, right?
Yeah.
Kyle Pitts, big play early. They were feeding him early. Drake London has his best game of the season. Darnell Mooney has his best game of the season. The offense, the passing game, has their best game of the season. I don't know. Maybe that's an oversimplification because it's one game and that's what happened.
Right.
But maybe it isn't. Maybe Kyle Pitts getting rolling and the defense having to pay that much more attention to him helps out all the rest of the guys that much. Now, this is something that I do think needs to change if you look at it from a five-game big-picture standpoint. Kyle Pitts can't be fourth on your team in targets.
No.
He's behind. Drake, not surprising. Darnell Mooney, a little surprising, but he's playing really well. Ray McLeod has almost 10 more targets. And Kyle, that just can't happen.
That cannot happen. That should not be happening.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that.
And hopefully that changes. And he's fifth in terms of receptions, because Bijan has more receptions than he has. So, they found a way to get him involved on Thursday. They've got to continue to do that. We'll talk to Zach Robinson, the offensive coordinator, about half an hour, just about what went into that with Kyle early and, hopefully keeping that going as the season goes. All right. Let's hear from the head coach of the Raiders talking about one of his players who's still one of his players.
He's still a Raider. He's never not been a Raider. If when he's healthy and he can play, we'll play him.
One point,
he's
just
not healthy right now. And he's getting closer, though. That's a good part. He's working every day to get that hamstrings right. He's in the right headspace.
Yeah, he don't want to be there. And y'all don't want him.
You don't want him. He doesn't want to be there. And soon he won't be a Raider.
And this is the thing. They should have traded his ass last year.
Yeah.
They would have got a boatload from somebody last year. Yeah. They would have traded him last year.
Now they have no leverage. And he's a little banged up.
And he's banged up. And more likely, he's going to want a contract extension or some contract rework, because this is last year of guaranteed money. So, yeah, they should just went ahead and made this move. But what happened, and they looked at it from a standpoint, they were going to be better. And I love me some AP. I do. Because the AP was a hell of a player, loved playing against him and everything like that. What's happened is they got the Raiders out. That didn't mean it was going to work.
No.
You know what I mean? And right now, it don't look like it's going to work. They went to Aiden O'Connell. He's going to be the starting quarterback this week.
That'll fix it.
Yeah. Okay.
That'll fix it. Speaking of different starting quarterbacks, here's Dennis Allen talking about who's going to start for the Saints.
You guys are all going to be wondering who's going to be the quarterback. Spencer Rattler will be the quarterback. We talked a lot as a staff about what we felt like was the best thing for us and give us the best chance to win the game. That was the decision that we made, and we're excited about him getting an opportunity to go in there, and we'll let him go play and see what he can do.
I mean, he's been a dude all offseason they've been talking about.
Yeah.
They've been popping him up and everything, and I think there's something me and Abe had talked about on Monday about whether would Spencer get to start. I was like, I thought the other guy probably would, but then it goes back to kind of that scenario when we had here when Heineke was in front of Michael before they would trade him, and we asked, when Kirk got hurt, I said, I think Heineke would come in first, but I think that Michael would start if the following game.
Right.
They're in this situation right here. Then I also mentioned how long if Taysom Hill's out. If Taysom Hill was healthy, would he be the starting quarterback this week? I don't know. But, they love Spencer Rattler down there. And, I mean, if he does like what they're talking about and getting the whole full week of one reps with the one.
Yeah.
Don't get Wally Pipp.
Yeah, they might roll with him. Yeah. Why not? I mean, the start, the 91 points in 2 weeks, a long time ago, man. That feels like ancient history with the three losses in a row that they have. I don't know. I'm excited. Like, the hype surrounding him and all the talk people said, people we trusted, Emory Hunt and others talking about him leading into the draft. He still fell pretty far in the draft, but I don't know. People see something in him.
They do.
It would be cool to see him play. Well, I mean,
no.
I don't want the Saints to be that good, but.
He's on my – I don't give a damn about you list. After that quarterback show.
There's no coming back.
Oh, no. You can't come back from that.
All right.
With me, they can't come back. You can't come back from being Spall.
What if he got a little bit more bossy, though? Like, what if he was more dynamic in the huddle and in the locker room? and he carried himself with a more bossy attitude, like apparently Caleb Williams has. Here's DJ Moore.
He's been bossy lately, telling us that we need to be on the details, but we really do for him to be the best player he needs to be.
What about then?
Hey, all right.
Detail-oriented.
Very detail-oriented. All right. And he played really well last week. He did. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you can build off of.
Hopefully.
All right. Yeah, all right.
But it sounds like it wasn't just the game.
I don't want no bossy-ass quarterback, dog. I'm sorry. There's a lot of things I want people to describe me as. And some of it can be mean and you know, I'm programmed so I don't get my feelings hurt. So I'm programmed for this. You can say anything you want about me. Just don't call me bossy. All right? I'm just sorry. I just don't want that. All right? Nothing against that. He's playing well.
I can make you that promise.
And his teammates view him like that.
I've only ever called one person bossy in my whole life.
And that was my daughter.
Yeah. She's four.
Yeah.
And she's bossy. I don't know what to say about it.
Did this dude that just said, please, that guy that just said he didn't realize how warm it was, just raise his hand when we said bossy.
What about?
That he's bossy.
Who's bossy?
He raised his hand.
You?
Yeah.
I thought maybe you were going to say you had called me bossy.
I would, no.
No, we would never call
I
you
wouldn't.
That. We would never call you that.
I wouldn't. We never wouldn't call you that.
Never call you that. But hey, whatever, his teammates leave thing to whirl him. Because bossy is not a bad.
No, they meant that as a compliment.
They meant it as a compliment.
As a compliment.
Yeah, they meant it as a compliment. Yeah. I just don't want a bossy-ass quarterback.
You can see how I get there from here, but this is the best advice I can give you coming out of this conversation. If you haven't checked in on Khalees lately, speaking of bossy, go look at her Instagram videos. She's like doing skincare treatment stuff in Africa. She's beautiful. It's worth a look.
Beautiful.
She's bossy. We'll talk.
That was Caleb.
That was Caleb. I don't know what his skincare regimen is. We'll get to the college football corner.
You know he got one.
There's one more joke I want to make, but I'm not going to. And so we're going to do a college football corner next and not get fired on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's right there. You ain't telling me this ain't going to get it cracking. Yeah! And this is like every wedding that I've ever been to, of one of my former teammates. Everybody played this at our wedding.
I bet.
Everyone.
I bet.
Our wedding was in Malibu, in California, right? And, you know, and we played it. The DJ didn't know what the hell. Like, dude out in California.
Yeah, young
like,
guy. Dog. I'm sure he has no idea.
I was like, dog, no. You go find this damn song, all right? And then me and my people, when this song came on, went out there and cut up. Like, you should see my wife's Filipino family, like, what the hell is going on?
What's going on out here? Just play it.
Yes.
And then watch.
Yes.
Play it and watch and see what happens when you do that.
Yes. And it's just gone. And that's what happened. All my joys when we came out of dance floor and her family's over there like, what? Donna?
It was probably a similar reaction that all of the North Carolina mountain folks had when they played the Thizzle Dance at our wedding in Waynesville, North Carolina in the mountains. And all my crazy-ass friends, this is where we're bouncing around, dusting ourselves off and doing this. Like, what is this?
Yeah, man.
What are these guys talking about?
I'm telling you right now.
Problem is, you get too low now. You hurt your knee.
Oh, dog.
Blow an ACL during the Thizzle Dance.
I got one dip. I got a dip of verse. You know what I mean? I got a dip of verse. But other than that, yeah, these things right here creaking, boy, like an old damn screen though. Yeah, that's how it sounds like when I bend my knees nowadays. Like old ass screen, though.
Oh, you earned it.
Yeah.
You earned every mile. All right. Zach Robinson's going to join us in about 20 minutes. He's the Falcons offensive coordinator. Talk everything we possibly can with him in the time that we have. Obviously, great performance last time out. Big game on Sunday against the Panthers, looking to go 3-0 in the division, which would be a huge leg
That's
up early
deal.
In the season. So we'll get to him in about 20 minutes from right now. We'll get to a college football corner in just a minute.
And it's a big deal because New Orleans and Tampa are playing this weekend also. So that's going to be another team with two losses in the division. So, I mean, that'd be it. I mean, you 3-0 up in this thing with the lead over the guy in front of you.
Yeah.
If Tampa beats
New Orleans on Sunday, it kind of becomes – then it kind of becomes a two-team race.
Yeah. If that's the case right there, then you're looking at – you already got – you. I mean, whoever wins again, you're going to have one game up on anyway.
Sure.
With the opportunity, but you got to go to their house and win it. But, yeah, I mean, being 3-0 in the division this early in the season, I'm not saying gives you margin for error and all that crap. I don't believe that. still got to win all your damn games.
Yeah, and I'm still of the opinion that like winning the division is certainly great and one of the goals.
Yes.
But I want the Falcons to be better than just an NFC South champion. You know what I mean? Like I want them to beat all the other teams on their schedule too. And there's some other good teams on their schedule coming up outside of the teams that are in their division. So that's a great goal and a great start and a path to the playoffs and a path to a higher seed and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean that's one of the goals on the. I don't know what list on the checklist.
Right.
There's more to it than that, hopefully. But anyway, we'll get Zach Robinson in here in about 15 minutes and chat with him. Before we do that, let's get to a college football corner. We'll spend a little bit more time on it tomorrow, too. Obviously, Roddy DeBalsley will join us at 11:40 as he always does on Fridays to talk Georgia football. But I mean, Mississippi State's 1-4.
Yeah.
Georgia's favored by 33.5.
Ooh, man. Take the under. I mean, take the.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Like, really?
Really?
You seen these guys?
Have you seen Georgia's offense?
You expect them to score 35 in the second half? Is that what you're expecting? Yeah. General thoughts?
Beat down.
Just beat the hell out of them.
Beat the hell out of them. Yeah. That's it. Beat the hell out of them. And nobody get hurt.
Yeah, that's the key.
We always get Brutus Brock Bowers. And I know Vanderbilt just beat Alabama.
But that was last year.
But that was last year. And you lose freaking Brock Bowers when you're blowing a damn team out on a damn reverse. And you lose Brock for the season. Just don't be getting anybody hurt.
One of them sort of game-related, but just sort of Georgia rumor fringe things to mention. We can say on pretty good authority – Kirby Smart's not interested in the Jets job.
No, he's not going.
Yeah, Kirby's not doing that. He's not interested. That's not happening. Like, I don't know if there's a day that comes when Kirby is listening to NFL offers, but I would guess you probably got about 6 years before that happens because his kids are young and he wants to be around. His kid, his youngest, is in seventh grade.
Yeah.
So maybe when somebody graduates from high school and they're all out of the house, and I don't know, he's got three more national championships on the shelf.
Maybe,
but until then, you're good. And this one is not that one.
No.
They're not going to wear black Saturday night. Or afternoon.
I'm sorry.
4:15, huh?
Yeah, man.
Kind of weird.
Better than
7:30.
Yeah, but I just, you
better
know.
Better than noon.
Yeah. I just want them to go take care of business. I think that's the one. Carson, be sharp. Get them out of there somewhere in the third quarter. Let the other guys play and everything like that. But, yeah, this should – don't play around.
Yeah.
You know, that's my biggest thing about Saturday. Don't be up there playing around and fooling around.
We'll talk to Roddy more about it tomorrow. Some big matchups outside of that one, though. Red River Shootout.
Yeah, man.
Texas number 1, 5-0. Quinn Ewers officially going to start. Sark just confirmed that like 10 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma 4-1, 18th in the country. Not a noon start for the Red River Shootout at 3:30.
Which is great.
Which is great. It's way better. Way better. Noon starts suck.
Yeah.
So this one being at 3:30 is great. I hope it's a good game. I know even when there's big spreads in these games, they tend to be good anyway. Like this rivalry.
Remember last year?
I don't remember.
Wasn't that when Dylan Gabriel led the last second win?
Yeah. 2 years ago, Bijan and Texas beat the brakes off.
Yeah, you remember that? Yeah, like so last year. Yeah, I thought Texas was favorite last year,
mm-hmm.
and they found a way to win that game. And so who's going to be the quarterback at Oklahoma? Because the guy that was supposed to be, you saw the disaster that he was playing against Tennessee. So who's going to be the quarterback and how did they get it and how does
– Well, I think it's going to be Michael Hawkins Jr.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is he going to be the guy again?
I think so.
And the one thing with Quinn Ewers, rush. Is there rush? Mm-hmm. And that would be the biggest thing to knock off the rush early and everything. But I still think Texas wins this one.
Yeah, I just think Texas is so much better than they are. And I don't know, maybe it's close early, but this is also one of those ones that I could see Texas kind of handling their
business. Flexing
their
muscle
on. Ohio State at Oregon.
Interested in this.
That's where game day will be. Obviously, that's a conference game. My mind still doesn't believe it, but it's true. That's a Big Ten conference game. Number 2 versus number 3 in the country.
Yeah, I think Ohio State is more number 2 than Oregon is number 3.
I agree with that.
Yeah, and so I think that Oregon, I just don't know what to think of. I mean, they're undefeated, don't get me wrong, but it's like, and we'll see the same thing now, because Oregon has players. You know, this would be Ohio State's biggest test to so far this year. And how do they go on the road into a place? When is this, a 3:30 or night game?
It's a night game.
A night game.
7:30.
A night game in Eugene. Energy.
Well, 7:30 our time, so 4:30 out there. So the sun will still be up.
Okay. So I'm just saying, like, energy and all those different things. Because Eugene, that's a tough place to play.
It is. It's loud.
It's a tough place to play. How does Ohio State, you know, because they haven't played nobody. We know that.
Yeah.
And how do they play? It's going to be I think it's going to be a competitive game for a while. I think Ohio State is probably hard to say, but no, it's not. I think Ohio State will out-athlete.
Oh, I think so, too.
Yeah, I'll be our athlete.
I think talent for talent, Ohio State has them. And it's close. Oregon's talented, but they got the better run game.
Yes.
They got the better offensive line. I don't know about the quarterbacks. Like, Dylan Gabriel's a really solid facilitator.
Yeah.
I don't know if you need him to be dynamic in the fourth quarter if he can win you a game, right. Although you just talked about how he did that last year at Oklahoma against Texas. But he hasn't really been asked to do that yet. I really don't know about Will Howard.
I don't know. I know he's a good quarterback.
Yeah, he's okay.
He's a good quarterback. But is he a great quarterback? And but with all his talent, does Ohio State need a great quarterback?
Yeah, they got that great
they
receiver.
They got that great damn receiver.
And they got two real good running backs.
Yes.
And I think you just feed those guys and let them go. But, yeah, that should be an interesting one for sure. I'm with you, though, as far as the breakdown of it. And Ohio State's favored by three on the road. So that's the sort of the lean that the odds makers have as well. Ole Miss at Tiger Stadium, Baton Rouge.
Love it.
That's a night
love
game.
Love it.
Number nine, Ole Miss, 5-1. Ooh, LSU, number 13, 4-1. Yeah, that should
be a lot of fun.
That should be a great football
game. Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun down there. And, you know, when you look at Ole Miss, they bounced back fine after the loss to Kentucky, beat the hell out of South Carolina. Mm-hmm. I still don't know who or what LSU is.
I don't either.
You know, but, I mean, they still got a lot of a lot of good players there. They're playing at home. We know how hard it is to win down there and can – you know, Lane get his team ready to go and play.
That's a huge question. Yeah. Because if they're 5-2 in this year where they were supposed to be best they've ever been, they fixed the trenches, all that kind of stuff, then and I don't mean Lane's not a good coach, but I think we're probably kind of good on Lane being national championship caliber if you ever were there, which you weren't.
Yeah.
Like you can't have all that hype and talk about it and then be 5-2 before October's over.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a lot of pressure on Brian Kelly too.
Yeah.
I don't think he's impressed anybody down there over the course of time.
I don't want to say honeymoon, but like I think Brian Kelly's a good coach. Is it getting to the point where it's like, okay, damn, this experiment worked? And
yeah, because it's I think he's a good coach for sure. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but that's a program where the expectation is to be competing for national championships.
Yes.
And the three coaches before him all won national championships. And that's not to say that he can't, but we're kind of far enough into this thing now to where, all right, they made the SEC championship game a couple years ago. And that was great. That was almost an overperformance in year one. Last year they had the incredible offense, the Heisman Trophy winner, all that defense couldn't stop anybody. But you're taking steps backwards. You can't really do that with the expectation level at LSU.
No. I think,
I don't know. Whichever team loses that game, it's really bad for that coach.
It's going to be bad for them. And then the other one, Penn State going out to L.A. to take on USC. Penn State should beat the hell out of them.
I think they're going
to. Penn State should beat
I think they're going to grind them down.
Penn State should beat the hell out of USC.
Yeah, I think they're going to grind them down in that one. And then that would make USC 3-3, which was predicted on this show about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Ben Lincoln Riley. Then you're looking funny at Lincoln Riley.
Oh, that luster gone, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that luster. 3-3.
Bunker Bowl going on in Iowa this weekend, by the way. Huskies traveling to take on the Hawkeyes.
Oh, yeah, your brother. Yeah.
My brother.
Yeah,
your brother. His fiance, Iowa native.
Yes. They're going to?
They're going to the game.
Oh, yeah. They're going to Iowa.
Whatever team wins, they take that last name. I'm just kidding. That'd be very funny, though.
That'd be pretty damn funny.
Her last name was like Shymansky or something like that.
Michael Shymansky.
Michael Shymansky. That's not bad. Karina Bunker sounds pretty good, too, though.
That's going to be a rough game for the Huskies, man.
It's going to be a grimy football game.
Yeah, man.
It's going to be not fun to watch.
Man.
You thought that Michigan game was ugly last weekend. Just wait till they play Iowa on Saturday.
Oh,
God, that game's going to suck. But I'm going to watch it. Watch every minute of it.
What time's the game?
Enjoy every second of it. Actually, I don't know. What time is that game? Give me a second here. I think it's a 3:30. Oh, it's a noon.
Oh,
great.
Early
perfect.
Early morning.
Terrible start time for a terrible football game. The over-under's 42.5.
I'll take the under.
Fire the under. That game's going to be 14-13. All right, we'll come back. Zach Robinson's going to join us. He's the Falcons offensive coordinator. We'll ask him everything we can think of next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Trillville Thursday, 20 minutes away from getting back into the big story of the day. Happy to welcome the Falcons offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, to the show right now. Zach, how are you?
I'm doing well, fellas. How you guys doing?
Doing great, man.
Outstanding.
Looking forward to another one on Sunday against the Carolina Panthers. And let me start here, just with five games in the book. What do you feel like you know about your group, about this offense now that maybe you didn't when the season started?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at these games, and, I mean, you guys are having heart attacks watching them. I mean, but it's a resilient group, man. And we're battle-tested through five games. Some of these situations that have come up might not come up in the next 10 years, but we've been through a lot of different situations. Situational football, obviously winning those three games in the last minute was really cool for those guys to to accomplish. I think we've, you know, you look at the Pittsburgh game and it feels like it's almost 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And everybody's grown, and shoot, including myself, in terms of just what these guys are, you know, capable of doing, and we're piecing it all together. I think you see Kirk and the, you know, skill guys starting to come together, obviously, last week. So it's great to see, man. You love the guys. Like, all these guys care about is how we're going to win the football game. Doesn't matter if we run it 50 times, we throw it 50 times. They're all in for whatever we're trying to do. So, really special group of guys, but I would say, man, we are battle tested through 5 weeks as you could get.
That was going to be my question. You said it in that answer, right, Zach? Was how about you? How have you gotten familiar with your personnel as far as this guy does this well? We line him up over here. He does this better on this side than on that side. How have you gotten more comfortable with these guys as far as when you're play calling?
Yeah, I think that it's a great question, because you have an idea, you know, in the off season, and you have a vision for how it's going to come together, and you have a vision for how things are playing out in training camp against your own defense. And then obviously you're playing completely different defenses every single week. And so you're adjusting and adapting and, you know, tailoring things to fit your guys. And so it's been, you know, a process. We've got a great group of coaches that have a great, you know, feel for each of their guys. And so it's been a good collaboration, just making sure we're trying to do everything we can in our power as coaches to set these guys up to go play. So definitely have learned a ton over the past, you know, really 6 months. And you look at training camp, it feels completely different to now, just like, you know, I mentioned the Steeler game to now, and even the Philly game to now. So we're all learning each week about each other, and it's been a cool process.
How does your experience as the play caller, the offensive coordinator, change? How is it different on a night like Thursday, where you guys are running 81 plays and the pass game's going the way that it is, and you have the ball as much as you do, versus maybe the game against Pittsburgh or one of the other games where you didn't possess the ball quite as much? Just like you as an offensive coordinator, what is that game experience like for you in those differing games?
It's certainly a lot more fun. You know, we have all these plays on the call sheet for a reason. You're hoping to, you're hoping to get these plays that you have on the call sheet off. And so, like you guys mentioned, just didn't have a ton of plays those first handful of weeks. And so to be efficient like we were on early downs, and then, convert some third downs to stay on the grass, obviously is huge for, like you said, just more plays equals more production, more points, all those things combined together. So, it's a lot more comforting knowing that we're spending all this time trying to put a plan together, and we actually get the plays run that we're hoping to get run. So definitely feels a lot better when we're more efficient and get more plays off.
Zach, I don't know if you can ask this question, but when you talk about personnel groupers and everything, like 11, 12, 21, everything like that, what do you have an idea how you want the base of this offense to be, or it just matters about the situation that you're in?
Yeah, I think it is week to week. You know, we've been a little bit more heavy 11 personnel just based on the opponents we've been playing. Okay. As of late. And so, but that's going to be continued to talk about, you know, the rest of the season. How much do we want to be in 12? How much do we want to be in 13 personnel? How much do we want to be in 20? You know, all the different personnel groupings that we're trying to get going, knowing that we can't just live in 11 every single snap, right? But that's kind of the matchups that we've seen the past few weeks. So, we'll continue to tailor and evolve throughout the season, knowing that, shoot, defenses are, they're really good at trying to get your tendencies. So we got to make sure that we are countering those.
Is there one that you're most comfortable calling plays out of?
Not really. The obviously being with Sean and in with the Rams for the past 5 years, we were heavy 11. So I know, you know, the structures of the defense, you know, seeing through that lens. But as I got here and we were, you know, a little bit more 12 with Charlie Warner and Kyle Pitts, and we got Ross Dwelly, who's a really good tight end. And so I got more comfortable, I guess, once I got here with, you know, the 12 personnel stuff and those types of things. So as of right now, it's pretty balanced. We've just been, you know, a little bit heavier 11, like I said, the past few weeks.
Gotta love 12 personnel.
It's because you play tight end.
Yeah, but see,
you're a tight end.
Gotta love 12.
Oh, you're and the tight ends, man. They're every single week they look at the call sheet. They're like, "Where is it?"
Yes, so, every week.
Maybe we'll get you guys going here soon.
Hey, Zach, how do you balance out the carries with your two backs? I mean, obviously, you know, they're two different styles and all those different things. And we saw not this Thursday game, but the Sunday of where, you know, Tyler has it going, and you keep him in there running. How do you try to balance out that situation with them?
Yeah, you know, I think our running back coach does a great job, Michael Petrie, and he's got a great relationship with those guys. And You know, we have our thoughts going into the game, and then you're feeling out the flow of the game, and he's got a great feel for it and say, hey, we're going to roll with Tyler on this. You know, he's seeing things real well right now, and you're like, shoot, Daddy, I trust you. Let's do it. So certainly Bijan has his package of plays that we for sure want him in on, and knowing that Tyler can really do everything as well. So it's a cool balance between those guys. Obviously, it's a great problem to have, but like I said, Michael Petrie, our running back coach, does a great job just feeling that flow within the game and how the guys are playing.
Falcons offensive coordinator Zach Robinson joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Coming off back-to-back wins, looking to make it 3 in a row against Carolina on Sunday. Last week, we got a chance to talk to Raheem on Wednesday, the day before the game, and we asked him if there's one thing that you guys can improve that will lead to sort of everything else improving, what would it be? And he said time of possession. And then you guys did that. You absolutely did it on Thursday. What would you like to improve most this Sunday on offense?
I would say just the overall execution, and, you know, we'd love to minimize some of the penalties. We're putting ourselves in some tough spots, first and 20s, where, you know, those are hard to overcome. And so there is a lot to clean up, even from the other night. You look at the – obviously the production was what it was with those guys, but, man, we left a ton of plays out there, even on a night like that. So things can definitely be tightened up execution-wise. I know I can make some better calls to put these guys in better spots, but – overall, it's football is football. It's always going to come down to the details, the fundamentals, techniques, and just overall execution of that play that's called. So we're looking to clean up all those things.
Zach, what kind of challenges or whatever does Carolina do that you're going to have to work on this week? I mean, you only got two more work days, but as you get ready to go up to Carolina.
Yeah, you know, they do a great job. I worked with Ajiro Evero with the Rams, their defensive coordinator. No, Jonathan Cooley, their defensive pass game coordinator. Super bright guy, really smart guys. And so know that they know defensive football. They know, you know, our offense, you know, from time in L.A., we're, you know, a little bit different now. But knowing that those guys are putting together a good plan, and we got to make sure that we have the counters of what we've put on tape so far. So it'll be a good chess match. They got good players across the field there, good secondary. I know they've been a little bit banged up, but, shoot, it's an NFL game, and you know you're going to get everybody's best every single Sunday. So we got to be ready to roll. But definitely expecting a good challenge, knowing, you know, the defensive coaches that they have on that side of the ball, as well as the players they got going.
I'm sure you're tired of being asked about this, but we haven't had a chance to ask you about it yet, and we're asking about it coming off of a really good performance, so it's more positive. What led to Kyle Pitts being more productive on Thursday night?
You know, I think for Kyle, it's just always going to be about the details and being in the right spot at the right time and the quarterback trusting where he's going to be. There was really nothing different in the game plan, whether he was, you know, the primary or catching a backside route. The faster that he can play, the more decisive he can play, the more detailed he can play, he's going to get the ball within the flow of the offense. I thought that was a great illustration the other night. There might not have been calls that were to him, and Kirk is such a good quarterback at reading coverage, and, you know, wherever the coverage takes the read, he's going to do it. And so, you know, fortunately it worked out for Kyle to catch a big one early in that game based on what the coverage they played. And then he had, you know, had some big time catches all throughout the night. So Kirk will find you if you do your job and you're in the right spot, man. And we got an extra click for him to progress through. He'll definitely find you. So just continue to harp on the details of Kyle and being in the right spot all the time.
Last one, Zach, and I wanted to go back to your quarterback, because we were talking about this before we got you on, as far as the offense itself, because it was that, you know, Kirk's been in this offense and everything like that, and it's all versions of it, but it's pretty much the base, you know, the base calls to the base calls. Is this any different? Is it any different learning from him than from a previous place with Kevin O'Connell and Kyle in Washington? Is there any difference as far as the learning curve?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you ask him, it is different. There's, you know, certainly the staple concepts and, you know, the formations and how we call plays and the rhythm of how we call it and who's playing what position. But if you were to ask him, I don't know what the exact percent would be, but it was probably 60% carryover from Minnesota with about 40% new, rough estimate. But there's definitely enough where he's still, you know, learning and getting a grasp for things, because things inevitably from when O'Connell left, you know, us with the Rams after the 21 season, you know, that's 2 full years of, you know, kind of evolving and changing and tweaking things that that we did in L.A. So inevitably, you're always trying to stay ahead with everything, and you're constantly evolving. So that's where some of those things that, you know, didn't get to Minnesota, but now we're kind of, you know, catching him up here, and he's doing a great job.
Oh, man.
Hey, Zach, happy belated birthday, by the way. You get anything good?
Hey, appreciate it. No, absolutely not. My wife got me nothing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, I think she forgot it was my birthday. So. Oh,
damn.
38. 38's not really like a major, you know, it's not like a milestone.
No, it's like, it absolutely. All of them from here on out just kind of are whatever.
Well, so. You haven't lost since your birthday. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, shoot. When you put it like that, absolutely.
Winning streak. Zach, we appreciate,
hey, man, appreciate
the time.
It,
thank
Zach,
you.
Man. Take care, brother.
All right, fellas. See you guys.
Zach Robinson there, Falcons offensive coordinator, recently 38. Nothing for his birthday. That's tough.
I don't believe that.
I don't know. Sounded like he meant it.
I don't know either.
Sounded sad.
Can I tell you about this cool book bag cooler that Donna bought me, right?
Oh,
so cool, no. Andy. It's the coolest thing. It's a Georgia book bag, but it's a cooler.
That's awesome.
It's so awesome.
That's.
Hold on. Now, she just bought it 2 days ago. They left to go to the beach this morning.
Oh.
Guess where the cooler is?
The beach.
Yeah.
It's a good beach bag.
I ain't even get to use it yet, but it's mine. She bought it for her.
She bought it for her.
Yeah
they do that sometimes.
It's messed up.
I was going to say, that's a perfect gift,
I'd rather you not get me nothing than to buy a gift that you say is for me that you use before I get to use.
Lily got Jack Minnie Mouse.
Yes.
For his birthday. I was like, you think he wants that? I mean, no? You do. Got it. Okay, yeah. Cool. All right. Yeah. Thanks again to Zach Robinson. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll come back with the final hour, the most important story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Smoking Joe Patrick in half an hour from right now. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.